Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Millennial Money Makeover Escape Debt, Save for Your Future. And Live the Rich Life Now is a personal finance guide written for millennials facing the pressures of student loans, credit card debt, unstable wages, and rising living costs. Connor Richardson frames the book around the idea that older financial playbooks no longer fit the economic reality many younger adults face, especially after the 2008 recession and the shift away from long-term job security. Instead of presenting money management as a vague call for discipline, the book offers a practical sequence of actions: reduce debt, create a financial buffer, and start building assets with intention. Its purpose is not only to help readers become debt-free, but also to reorient financial decisions away from short-term consumption and toward long-term stability and ownership. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why the traditional path to wealth no longer fits many millennials. A central argument in the book is that the old success sequence, steady job, home purchase, asset accumulation, and retirement savings, has become harder to follow for millennials. Richardson connects this to post-2008 labor market instability, stagnant wages, and the heavier debt loads many younger adults carry before they even start building savings. This matters because the book does not treat financial difficulty as a personal failure or a lack of effort. Instead, it argues that the economic environment changed, and money strategy has to change with it. That shift in framing is important. Readers are encouraged to stop measuring themselves against older generations and start using a plan that matches current conditions. The result is a more realistic financial model based on adaptability, debt reduction, and asset building rather than a fixed expectation that home ownership or a single career trajectory will automatically create security. Secondly, debt elimination as the foundation for every later financial move. The book treats debt payoff as the first serious step toward financial stability, not just one goal among many. Student loans and credit card balances are presented as forces that limit flexibility, increase anxiety, and delay every other form of progress. Richardson emphasizes that paying off debt quickly creates freedom to save, invest, and make future choices without constant pressure from lenders. This approach is practical because it recognizes that high interest obligations and monthly payments shape behavior long before someone has enough income to build wealth. Rather than encouraging readers to spread attention across too many goals at once, the book argues for a clear order of operations: remove the heaviest burdens first, then redirect those payments into wealth-building accounts. The value of this idea is structural, not emotional. It explains why debt payoff is not only about reducing what is owed, but about restoring control over cash flow, lowering financial stress, and making future planning possible. Thirdly, building an emergency fund to break the paycheck-to-paycheck cycle. Another key theme is the importance of cash reserves, even if the starting amount is modest. The book presents an emergency fund as a stabilizing tool that protects readers from small disruptions becoming major setbacks. For millennials who live paycheck to paycheck or have little margin between income and obligations, this kind of buffer can prevent new debt when an unexpected expense arises. Richardson's reasoning is that security is not abstract. It has immediate effects on stress, decision-making, and the ability to stay on track with larger goals. An emergency fund also changes behavior by creating breathing room. When readers are no longer one surprise repair or medical bill away from crisis, they can make better choices about debt payoff and investing. The book's practical strength here is that it does not demand perfection before progress. It shows how even a basic savings cushion can interrupt a cycle of financial fragility and create the conditions for more confident long-term planning. Fourthly, how FOMO pushes spending away from future wealth. The book pays close attention to fear of missing out as a financial force, especially for a generation heavily influenced by experiences, social comparison, and lifestyle pressure. Richardson treats FOMO not as a superficial habit, but as a serious obstacle to saving and investing. The problem is that spending to preserve social belonging or to capture memorable moments can easily feel justified in the present while quietly weakening future options. The book challenges readers to compare immediate pleasure with the long-term cost of delayed wealth building. That is where its analysis becomes useful. It does not simply say spend less, but asks readers to rethink what they are actually trading away when they prioritize short-term consumption. By linking FOMO to debt, savings, and lost investment opportunity, Richardson shows how emotional decision-making can have cumulative financial consequences. The book is strongest when it reframes restraint as a way to protect future experiences rather than a denial of enjoyment altogether. Lastly, turning money management into a simple sequence of habits and priorities. The book stands out because it organizes personal finance into a clear sequence rather than a dense theory. Instead of overwhelming readers with technical detail, it emphasizes a practical order: get control of debt, build an emergency fund, and begin investing for the future. That structure is especially helpful for readers who feel stuck because they are trying to improve everything at once. Richardson's method reduces financial confusion by showing that certain steps matter more at certain times. This sequencing also makes the book accessible to people who are new to personal finance, since it translates a large and intimidating subject into decisions that can be acted on immediately. The broader implication is that financial progress is less about having perfect knowledge and more about following a disciplined process consistently. By combining relatability with a step-by-step framework, the book offers a useful entry point for millennials who need both motivation and a workable plan. In conclusion, Millennial Money Makeover is best suited for millennials and younger adults who want a practical, non-technical guide to getting out of debt and building a more secure financial life. It is especially relevant for readers dealing with student loans, credit card balances, irregular income, or the pressure to spend in ways that feel socially rewarding but financially costly. The book's main benefit is its clarity. It gives readers an ordered plan instead of vague encouragement. That makes it useful for beginners, but also for anyone who has already started managing money and needs a more disciplined framework. What distinguishes it from many personal finance books is its focus on the specific economic and emotional realities facing millennials. It does not assume the old path to wealth is still available in the same way, and it takes seriously the influence of FOMO, debt stress, and limited margin. As a result, it offers not just advice, but a realistic financial mindset shaped by the present economic environment. If you would like to support Connor Richardson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.